time for the Molloy Drive Show podcast. Okay, Australia, you know him. You can count on him.
I'm a 50-50 chance.
You love him.
Hello. Go to the top shelf, ladies.
And now, it's his show.
Here we go, people.
This is Molloy.
Say it ain't so, Australia. Ash Barty crashes out of Australian Open after game-changing controversy. Oh. We will get to the bottom of that. What has gone on?
No Barty party.
No Barty party. Nah. Oh, dear. It's a fizzer. We'll get to the bottom of that. A lot to digest on today's show. Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mickey. I'm pumped for today's show. Some big guests coming up.
There is indeed. Well, let's start there. Ben Elton.
If you don't mind.
It's comedy royalty. Yeah. One of my comedy heroes. I've enjoyed everything he's done over the years. And the good news is, people, he's doing a lap around Australia and you're invited to what will be one of the great tours of the year. No doubt. We'll talk to him. Titus O'Reilly joins us.
Oh, awesome.
On the back of the Barty fiasco, we're going to talk about sports cheats. He's the ranking authority.
He's got a book about
on all matters in sport and cheating. If we indeed it is a cheat, we'll discuss in just a moment. But he will join us. Gwyneth Paltrow has a new product out, Dave.
She does. She likes to focus things on the downstairs department. So
let's
another
just
one
say,
in that area.
If this gets up, you and me might be out of a job. Big fella.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got the Song Whisperer.
We do.
And our first segment, Is It Really News? We'll go over the trenches today. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets.
Here it comes. It is the big Wednesday edition. It's Molloy.
For the drive home, this is Molloy.
Barty is out. An extraordinary comeback from a set and a breakdown from Carolina Muhova. A medical timeout thrown in there. But goodness me, what a turnaround we've seen on Rod Laver this afternoon.
There it is. She let herself down. She let her country down.
Come on.
I'm having a joke.
I know.
This is one of the great sporting controversies of the year, decade. Mm. For those who are unaware, Ash Barty's crashed out of the Australian Open after a medical timeout was taken by opponent Carolina Muchova, which changed the course of their quarterfinal. So Barty has blitzed through the first
sets. She's having a ripper. She's going really
6-1.
Well.
6-1 in 24 minutes. Oh, and there was a breakup in the second when Muchova, who appeared to be struggling in the 30 degrees heat, called for the doctor. Next thing you know, it's a medical timeout, goes out. When she comes back, she's fresh as a daisy.
Yeah.
And just absolutely nails it.
Spanks her.
Gone. Waiter. Oh. Check, please. Barty party over. Complete fizzer. Now, I've said this before, Dave. Yes, you know I've said this before, that the medical timeout is a cheat. And the greatest exponent of it is Roger Federer.
Yeah. Yeah,
Federer could be the biggest cheat in world sport history. Yeah.
You have said it for years. So
I don't know of anything that can change a game. You can't in the middle of an over decide, I'm a back sore. I might just go up to the change rooms for a second.
Yeah. It completely changes the momentum, doesn't it? Like the momentum stops right there.
I mean, look, I've taken a medical timeout a couple of times while I've been having sex. Because especially in those difficult five settings, you know, the ones when you get into the fourth and fifth hour.
Wow.
You go, get me back in there. Get me
Is that right?
Just so need
what,
you to,
but what
just,
do you do in your medical break? You just have a little cigarette or something?
Just have a good hard think about a cigarette. A good hard think about it. Towel down. But you know what I'm saying?
I do.
In sport, you know, I used to think the grunt was the biggest cheat in sport. But now the MTO, people are upset. Shirley's on the line. Yeah. Shirley's just a caller who represents the level of outrage there in the community. Yeah. What do you make of it, Shirley?
Oh, Mick, I can't believe it. It's a damn disgrace.
It is a disgrace. And were you watching it live at the time?
6-1. Yes. She was leading in the first set and then she comes out and does what she does. What did she do in the medical break?
I've no idea, but if you're suggesting that something untoward, you might be right. Who knows?
I don't know. That's just not fair, though, Mick. There's something that's just ridiculous.
I don't get it. It's I share your outrage.
She won the first set, 6-1.
Yeah, Shirley.
6-1. She had it on toast. She was a break-up, Shirley.
Yeah.
Well, Shirley, what do we do? Do you write a letter to the paper? Do you write to the Australian Open? How do we fix it?
Look, I'd tell you what. It's just getting that beyond a joke, Mick.
Right.
Shirley is furious.
Beyond a joke. I'll tell you this.
I am furious.
Calm down, Shirley. Take it easy.
I've been watching Ash Barty's every game, Mick, and she's been brilliant.
She has been brilliant, and there's no bigger supporter than me. Hello?
Can't believe that.
Yep, she's out.
Well, you need to calm the farm a bit, Shirley. You've gone mad.
No, I love Shirley's
Hey, Shirley, you know how they've got...
I was just upset, Mick.
I get it, Shirley. I am too. Yeah. You know how they've got the fake crowd there at the tennis for the applause and that? They should have recorded some booing.
Yeah.
So that when she came out,
they all booed her. Yeah.
The fake crowd would boo her. What do you think of Machova?
Sad to see her go out like that.
Yeah.
It was indeed. I tell you what, can you give Shirley... Shirley up, Dave?
What about $100 for you where you can spend, I don't know, you can go grocery shopping or Uber Eats or...
That'd be lovely, Dave.
You are more than welcome. Oh. Lovely to hear from you, Shirley, too. Appreciate it. Yeah, where are you calling from, by the way?
I used to always be on Triple M with Shawnee.
Oh, nice one. Shawnee in the Goulburn Valley.
Yeah, when he was at Triple M in Shep.
Yeah.
Okay, you two. Hey, Dave and Shirley, we're on national radio.
We'll talk about it off air.
Can you talk?
All right.
Shirley, I think you should be commentating the tennis myself, or at least courtside for opinions. There it is.
I'm just so sad that she's gone out like that, Mick.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Well, I just want to cheer you up now. Have you got friends you can be around, or are you locked down?
Right? I have.
All right. We're just... Sound a bit down.
Are you going to watch the rest of the tournament, or are you going to give up now?
I've been watching the tournament all as well. I've been watching Novak and Djokovic and Nadal. Yeah. I've been watching all of them.
Mm. Djokovic, is he putting it on? Has he actually got a stomach?
I think he's genuinely hurt, I reckon.
Well, if he takes a medical time off, I'll be ropeable. Okay, Shirley.
Oh, well, he's got all his stomach taped up, so it wouldn't be put on, Mick.
Right.
Good on you, Shirley. Thanks for your contribution.
Yeah, and
Shirley represents the mood and the electorate out there who are fuming over this tactical medical timeout that's cheated our Ash out of what she deserves, which is a title. We'll get there eventually. Okay, when we come back, let's talk about cheating in sport. We'll catch up with the authority, authority on this. It's Titus O'Reilly.
The program, so it's this is Malloy.
Dave, was it a choke? What do we blame? Is it cheating?
I don't know.
It's cheating, and it worries me a lot. And if you want to talk about cheating in sport, there's only one ranking authority on deck.
Yep.
His latest book is called Cheat, The Not-So-Subtle Art of Conning Your Way to Sporting Glory. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Titus O'Reilly. How are you, Titus?
Good to be with you.
You sound a bit flat after the Barty party fizzled out today on centre court.
Well, I mean, that injury timeout was the greatest, I don't want to over-egg it, but the greatest act of cheating in the history of time by a mile. Like, Lance Armstrong was looking at it going, gee.
This is a masterpiece. Yeah.
this is a bit far.
I tried to make the point that Federer has done this routinely in the past, has he not, in his older years?
Well, they do. They do it all the time. But Machova using a nebulizer during her medical break, I thought was...
You don't want to get downwind of the nebulizer. You can take out the whole southern stand. That's right. What is the biggest cheat? The biggest cheat in tennis is like using that novelty racket that Daryl Summers used to bring out every year. What's cheating at tennis?
My favourite one was, it's not really cheating, but it's sort of quitting when you shouldn't, was Bernard Tomic withdrawing from a match, citing unbearable heat because it was 27 degrees. Right.
And it was in Acapulco, by the way. That was in the Acapulco Open.
Mm. You think that was a coincidence? You might have wanted to end early.
It was Acapulco and it was 27 degrees. Yeah. That's why people go there.
Right.
It's in the brochure.
Sharapova is the biggest. She took meldonium, which is this drug that you use for heart conditions and diabetes. And she claims she was taking it for a heart condition. The only problem she has is the manufacturer says the appropriate course of treatment is to take it to 4 to 6 weeks, and she took it for 10 whole years.
Well, she misread the prescription, I mean.
This drug is available over the counter in the Ukraine and Russia. It was actually invented for the Soviet army when they were in Afghanistan in the 80s. So that was what it was actually invented for. And the best bit about Sharapova is she's such a good saleswoman. You know, she's got her candy and her watches and everything.
Yes.
That in Russia and Ukraine, the sales of meldonium went through the roof after she got caught using it.
Oh, I love it. I thought you were going to say she was cheated because she grunts. I think the grunt is still the most acceptable form of cheating in the world of tennis, because it's clearly a tactic and it annoys your opponent. It's sometimes you can't hear the ball off your own strings. I mean, what's with that?
Well, it's the worst, but I think if you're on a heart drug all the time, it's obviously a heart problem, of course.
Could be your last breath. Hey, can we talk about other sport? Like, where does this sit in the tennis? You don't associate, although it is one of those sports which is easily rigged for betting purposes, if you know what I mean. Not that I'm suggesting that anything untoward happened today, but where does this fall in the pantheon of sporting cheats that you've covered so well in your new book?
Well, nothing beats the Tour de France. The Tour de France is the greater, you know, it's more an excuse to cheat. The first ever guy that won the Tour de France, Maurice Guérin, the very first Tour de France, he knocked an opponent off his bike. Then when the guy got back on and caught up with him, he knocked him off again, got off and jumped up and down on his wheels until they were so bent.
Jesus.
And then the next year, he was still awarded the winner because he was a big star. The very next year, he won but got disqualified because he caught a train for part of the race. And the other top five winners, top five finishers, also caught the same train. So they all got disqualified. The guy that won, it was deemed that he caught a car for part of the race.
Oh, this
but it
is
was
gold.
It was deemed that he didn't cheat that badly, so he got given
the
winning.
So they gave it to him.
But even though he got in a car for half for part of the race, they went, "Well, you didn't cheat enough."
He was the cleanest guy in the race.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Got it. That's fantastic. So we know that. Didn't someone one year have a motor in their bike?
There were rumours of that happening. There was someone who actually sold for about $100,000 a motor for a bike. So you could have that. But they did all sorts of things. One guy used to get, when he got to the top of the mountain, he'd get given a water bottle from his team, but it was full of lead instead of water. So he had more weight and went down the hill faster.
Oh, wow.
That is genius.
Yeah, they're sort of quite clever, you know. You'd think they put this much effort into, you know, doing other things, they'd actually be superstars.
Hey, can you hang about, Titus? Mm. We could do this all day, but I specifically want to talk to you about the Australian swimming team and how they've travelled over the years, especially given recent revelations. Can you hang around?
Absolutely.
You got it. Titus O'Reilly is with us. More with Titus after this.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
Titus O'Reilly, his latest book is Cheat, the Not-So-Subtle Art of Conning Your Way to Sporting Glory, in stores right now and online as well.
Taking pride of place beside my toot as we speak. It's in pole position, as they say in the classics. Now, Titus, I know you follow all sports avidly. I noticed the story about Scott Miller, who's got himself into some serious trouble. Allegations of $2 million worth of ice being in. And I remember he had humble beginnings, because I remember him being photographed one day for a calendar just with a halibut over his todger. And I look back at that innocent young man now and go, what is it with him and swimmers in particular? Because if you have a look at swimmers in Australia, there's a history of abnormal stroke sad behaviour. Well, let's start with Scott. Is there a pattern of behaviour here I should be understanding?
Well, I see this as a development and a move forward, because the last time he was caught was for steel knocks. So it's nice to see swimmers move on to something new.
Can I ask you, am I out of order here, but we have, from Grant Hackett turning up in the foyer in his underpants or being shoveled off flights in a straitjacket, to, remember we had our relay team who the night before their race were running around the village with steel knocks and Red Bull. We have a bad history in the swimming department, yeah?
Oh, we do. I mean, the missiles, James Magnusson was one of those ones that was running around.
Yes.
I mean, who door knocks when they're in their 20s? I mean... But I've got to defend Grant Hackett a little bit. He was... Well, one, he was drunk on a flight, and, you know, that's not a hanging event offence in my view, but he tweaked the guy's nipples sitting in front of him because the guy put the chair down on a domestic flight. Now, I think if a guy puts the chair down on a domestic flight, tweaking their nipples is the best outcome for them.
That's a mild response, I would have thought.
But the Crown Casino one is, you know, where Grant was wandering in Crown Casino in his underwear going, where are my kids? I can't find my kids. And it was the worst game of hide and seek in the history of the world. Because they're at Crown Casino. They're in the car, Grant. There's no need.
So, who else? There's been a rich tradition. It's going right back to Des Renford, who I would suggest covering yourself in chicken fat. That's cheating. If you're gonna, do the swim, you know, you go mano a mano. You go on natural.
Mm. Yeah. Well, there was a guy in the marathon who cheated once by covering himself in fat. He thought it would help him in some way, but it actually meant he couldn't sweat, and he ended up, he was the first Olympic death ever.
Oh, no.
And so, he said before the race, I will either win gold or die trying. Yeah. That's no word of a lie. And he was right.
Tracy Wickham, did she get in trouble? I can't recall. I think that's...
She got in trouble. Dawn Fraser got in a bit of trouble. Oh, yeah. She went out on a binge at the Tokyo Olympics,
yes.
Snuck into the Emperor's Palace and stole a flag.
Yes.
And the police realised who she was, so let her off and gave her the flag.
Proceeds of crime.
Well, Dawn Fraser crosses over with tennis because do you remember when she told Nick Kyrgios to go back to where his father's or parents came from?
Yes.
Which I found highly offensive because Nick Kyrgios is from Canberra and that's just cruel.
Do you know what I think about our swimmers? And we'll finish up here, but I think it's obviously if you're going to spend all your time looking at the bottom of a pool and then all of a sudden you stop doing that one day, you're going to struggle. I feel we should make the Olympic pool a little more like the pools we swim in. With you know what I mean? Just make them feel at home with a few coins on the bottom, maybe a creepy crawly in line 8, maybe a pool bar. I mean, put in a pool bar.
One of those blow-up swans.
Yeah, blow-up swan. Maybe make them attach their locker keys to their speedos. I mean, am I the only one thinking here? Titus, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. What's the book, Dave?
It is called Cheat, the Not-So-Subtle Art of Conning Your Way to Sporting Glory. And can I say, Titus's Twitter game is so super strong.
How do people follow you, Titus?
Just Titus, at Titus O'Reilly on Twitter or Facebook.
Well, you're up all
too
night
easy.
Working that one out, weren't you? Well played. Good on you, Titus.
Well done.
Thanks, guys.
This is Malloy on Triple M. For the drive home, this is Malloy. Ben Elton is going to join us. He's doing a lap around Australia, doing a bunch of shows as well. Looking forward to Ben coming up real soon on Malloy.
I've asked, I know I said goodbye, but I've asked Titus to hang around because I just want to pick his brains. We were talking about Scott Miller and the allegations involving him. Police allege Miller and another man had concealed heist inside candles. Titus, do you have a theory on that?
I actually thought it was a new scent from Gwyneth Paltrow when I read about it.
Well, imagine if it was hidden in Gwyneth Paltrow's candle. That's almost like a party pack. That's a good night out.
That's a great. I mean, imagine if you just accidentally lit that. You know, you bought one of these for your grandma and lit it in there.
Hi, grandma. Here's a present. Imagine if you got a 90 because it was her 90th birthday. You'd be carried out in a stretcher.
I feel like I'm 80 all over again.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Titus O'Reilly joining us there. Remember, the book is called Cheat, the Not-So-Subtle Art of Conning Your Way to Sporting Glory. All right, Mick, I believe it's time for this.
Time for another edition of Is It Really News?
According to Bureau of Statistics, Aussie travelling overseas in 2020 was the lowest in decades.
This has been another edition of Is It Really News?
Yeah, what a bombshell. Who knew?
Was that published?
Oh, no. Yeah. No one's travelling.
Really?
I can't believe it. In the year of the pandemic. Thank God for the Bureau of Statistics and letting us all know about that. Because who would have thought, eh?
Yeah. Well done.
Lowest in decades.
That's right, yeah. Well, that was really news.
Makes you think.
That was published. That was out there today. Hey, still to come, the Song Whisperer and Ben Elton.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Malloy.
Now, across the nation.
Malloy's Music News.
Our motto here at Triple M is rock, sport, comedy. We've done the sport. There's been a little bit of comedy thrown in.
Lots of comedy.
Thank you, Titus O'Reilly. Now it's time for the rock. And this is great news for listeners to this network, if it's true.
Yeah.
Liam Gallagher has insisted an Oasis reunion is going to happen. Bang!
Yes.
How good would that be that Dave, would that be the biggest concert in the world?
I think it'd be the biggest reunion. And 133353, by the way, if you want to chip in with who you'd like to see reunion.
Who'd you like to see reunion?
I think so. For me, Oasis is the band. Like, just build a bridge, you boys, and get over it. Like, why is it taking so long? You're brothers. And there's something about brothers in bands, Mick, with the harmonies and the sounds. You can't replicate it. That's what brings the goodness, I reckon.
You can't manufacture chemistry, Dave.
Yeah.
And it would be an incredible musical moment. I think that would be the biggest concert in the world.
There was a tweet that he put out, and he's basically put out a tweet saying, look, maybe, so is the line from, you know, Wonderwall, maybe. And then a fan's written back on, hey, Liam, you need to give me hope that Oasis will come back. Please, I'm 19 years old, and I want to live that concert. I hate not being born earlier. And he's going, it's going to happen. So that's great. That's the case.
It's great and it's encouraging. Yeah. However, I'd feel more confident if Noel was...
Well, he's the one to get over the
agreeing.
Line.
He's the holdout.
He's the one to get over the line.
He's the one who had enough of Liam's antics on tour.
Yeah, that's right.
Liam at the time, they needed a couple of rodeo clowns to get him on stage.
I've seen it firsthand, Mick. I went to Reading in the UK to fly out for an interview with Liam Gallagher. So halfway across the world, I flew there, and within 10 minutes of the chat, not doing press, don't want to talk to anyone. So, I had my recording equipment, all my notes, and I'd built myself up. I'm thinking, I'm talking to Liam Gallagher, and it didn't happen. But I got to see the show.
Didn't happen. You got to see the show. Were you lucky? Because some nights on the night he would cancel. I can't sing tonight.
It's quite
notorious. So he got a bit bent out of shape towards the end, and I think Noel had enough. But we all agree the chance to see them live would be awesome. You didn't get to interview him there, Dave, but you did get to interview him on our show.
This
very show, when it was Kennedy Malloy.
That's right.
And we had him on live, and he was a bit loose. He's one of those interviews that you like Liam Gallagher because you don't just get you. He hasn't been to press school.
No.
He just answers as he sees fit. Here's an example from our interview. We saw you on Instagram, a picture with your mum. How are you getting on? Because we know your brother's a bit of a dick, but you seem to get on well with your mum. How's all that going?
Yeah, she's amazing. Amazing. All going well. And I've got another brother who's fine as well. There's always one in the family, isn't there?
There's always one in the family. Personally, myself, Liam, I'm not into social media. I just send the odd dick pic, you know?
Yeah, good for you.
Hey, Liam, I noticed you've got some Adidas footwear that you've just released recently.
It's got your face on the tongue.
It has, yeah, and I'm releasing some toilet paper as well next year. So you can wipe my ass with your face on it.
Mate, this has been a fascinating insight into the life and times of Liam Gallagher.
I leave all the bullshit as like Sting and our kid up so they can talk a glass of it. I just tell out how it is.
Wow. There you go. A bit loose, I thought, and I was a bit concerned at times.
I'm glad we pre-recorded it because there was a few questions that were asked that didn't make it to air. I think we should share this with the audience like this.
True or false, did you get kicked out of the Groucho Club in London for having a root on the pool table?
Well, having a what?
A shag.
No, I don't think so, no.
All right, well, I must have been witnessing something else at the time. Well, as I say, that was...
Is that a true story?
I believe, allegedly.
Yeah, of course.
And managed to keep his pants on. you work out the math.
Yeah.
But what you want to see that guy doing what he does best, which is sing in front of a stadium full of people. Who would you like to see get back together? Mark's on the line. Mark, who would you like to see?
Hey, Mickey, I'd love to see Led Zeppelin get back together, mate.
Yeah. Wouldn't we all? Well, they did, didn't they? They did a series of concerts at O2, Dave?
Yeah, they did. There's a couple of one-offs, but Plant and Page did that sort of thing back in the 90s, didn't they? Gallows Pole, but not the full band, not everyone together.
I think he finds it tough out front to do the rock, sex, god thing.
Still,
now
he's amazing,
in the 60s. Mark.
I saw Robert Plant probably 4 or 5 years ago, and he's still brilliant.
Oh,
he's still brilliant.
Voice.
He still sings like an angel. Him, Dave.
Case of Brick Lane for you there, Mark.
Beautiful. Thank you for that.
It's on us. It's available at Dan Murphy's, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's an absolute ripper. Paul's on the line. Paul, who would you like to see get back together, do it one more lap of honour?
I would actually, Mick, how are you going?
Yeah, good, buddy.
I'd love to see Creedence get back together.
Oh.
That would be good.
Mate,
just do all the hits.
Yeah.
I've actually, in a pub in Adelaide on North Terrace, gang rushed the stage with a cover band. We're doing Credence, and grabbed the microphone and belted out "Proud Mary." Yes, I'd
really?
Had a couple. Yes, I did. Wow. And I was asked to leave.
John Fogerty does some brilliant work on Facebook. So he's got his family now that they just do all Creedence songs. And they live in the hills of Hollywood and they all get together and they live stream on Facebook.
Good call,
so if you
Paul.
Look it up, yeah, check that out.
You can we'll keep taking them throughout the show. Who do you want to see
right.
get back together? 133353.
So we're talking about Oasis a moment ago.
Oh, come on.
And
here they go.
We can only
Wouldn't
hope.
That'd be great.
Oh, imagine. Here's the big one. It's Wonderwall. And this is Malloy on Triple M.
This is Malloy.
We asked you, our rock aficionado audience, who you'd like to see get back together. Peter's called us. Who would you like to see? Which band would you like to see get back together, Peter?
Tism, Local Boys, Melbourne.
Wow, what a great band.
Serious, Mum.
Yeah.
This is serious.
I worked with them at the 21st Century Dance Club years ago when they came on stage pushing two-stroke lawnmowers, running two-stroke lawnmowers. Each one of them, there's like seven lawnmowers on stage.
That's
Mate,
awesome.
They were an awesome band.
Yeah.
And the stuff they got up to was just quite incredible. So we interviewed them a couple of times, and every time we interviewed them, one time they came in and the two guys came in would only answer through piano accordion. So we would ask a question and they would just do it. Another one, it wasn't us, but guys I know, said, we'll interview you. Yep. So meet us at the MCG.
Right.
Met them at the MCG and they had to stand up one end of the ground, write their questions on a Sharon and kick it to them. and then they would kick back their answers. And then the other one is they got a journalist for Beat Magazine or one of those and they blindfolded her. Drove around town, and when they took the blindfold off, she was in like a meatworks with like carcasses of meat hanging down. And she had to poke out from behind one and ask a question, and they'd be down the other end, fully concealed, and would answer there.
I agree. I'd love to see Tism.
They asked me once to go. I got asked to go and do a poem at their concert.
Right.
And so in the middle of their concert, they stop and I come out and read a poem. And that night they went, this was at the Palace in Melbourne.
Oh, yeah.
And the night the guy goes, you're not going on out there.
Oh, no way.
Someone had just been out and the audience had chucked like $1,000 coins at him. So they said, mate, you're not going.
Yeah.
We're not going to put you out there. What a great band.
I've got a little sample of Tism for those who might not be aware, like Greg the Stop Sign.
Greg the Stop Sign. Greg the Stop Sign.
Or he'll never be an old man river.
I'm on the drug, I'm on the drug, I'm on the drug. The Hill River Phoenix, I'm on the drug, I'm on the drug, I'm on the drug.
So happy to hear Tism. Oh,
how good were they? They could do it with a completely different band because no one knows who they are.
That's it.
That was one of the conceits. What a great band. Good call, Peter. Hey, duke him.
All right, case of Brick Lane, Peter. Thanks for calling through, man.
Matt's
thank
on
you
the
very
line.
Much,
nice one.
Good on you, mate. Matt, who would you like to see back?
Howdy, boys. So I'm thinking the Clash, Mickey, and then they could just come and rock Mickey's bar.
Okay, that's true. Is it Taz? Joe Strummer's still with us?
I think he is not. Yeah, the original.
Oh, it's the Song Whisperer chiming in.
Yeah.
He's not. I'll tell you one of my favourite stories was when I was in Soho in London, I was hanging out with a group of people who invited me to a place called The Colony.
Yeah.
And The Colony's a pub that's been there forever, but it's like a private club. And when I told the locals I'd been invited, they just lost their minds. Wow. They said, we've been living here for 20 years and we haven't been able to get into that joint.
Wow.
And so I walked in and one of the first things you see, it's full of artists, so painters and rockers and everything else. And they've got Francis Bacon's on the wall some of this. But they had behind the bar Joe Strummer's Meaning of Life in handwritten notes, and it was just still there.
That's
as it was
incredible.
The day he got there. I can't say it here. It's a bit blue.
Right.
But what a great thing to be part
game
of.
Game changes the Clash. They are game. That Combat Rock album is...
All right. We've got plenty of others. Dire Straits, I'm seeing from Robert. Lynyrd Skynyrd from Shannon.
Yeah.
Might be a bit difficult, that one too.
Yeah.
And Linton wants to see Meatloaf get his shit together. Hey, let's drop into the Song Whisperer.
Let's do it.
Jay, the Song Whisperer.
Jay Mondo.
Mm. I would like to see Public Enemy get back together. They've got a bit of a feud right now, Chuck D and Flavor Flav.
Oh, yeah.
But I would love to see those guys.
That would
Public
be
Image Limited, but Johnny Lydon.
No, Public Enemy.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Public Image Limited.
No, apologies.
Public Enemy.
Public Enemy. They're having a bit of a
spat. They're always feuding. Feuding's publicity, isn't it?
A little bit. This is a little bit more serious. They actually fired Flavor Flav.
Yeah.
Kicked him out. Gone.
And
Public Enemy, you know, as much as I love Chuck D, it's just not the same without Flavor Flav.
Was it, wasn't it go, there someone man. Else that you wanted to see?
Well, I'd love to see Lou Gramm back with Foreign. Midnight yeah? Blue. How good would that be?
Just no, that's too a Lou quick, Graham Dave. Solo. Just too quick with the Lou Gramm. You know better than that. All right, Song Whisperer, synopsis, please.
All right, this guy is moving on. He's got his stuff, and he's heading to the coast. He's haunted by the memories of his relationship. Was it with a woman, or was it addiction? Maybe both. It's unclear. What is clear is he wants out. He wants to get on with his life, paradoxically, so he can clearly observe the destruction of all life around him.
Oh, jeez.
He wants to live so he can just take everything else in.
He wants to be omnipresent. Mm. He wants to be godlike.
Hmm.
Is he a control freak? Is he a bit of a control freak?
No, I don't think so. I think he's just, he's had enough of his previous situation. He wants a new situation.
Well, change it. Stop whinging and change it.
He's going to change it.
Hmm.
But he keeps being dragged back in. And he just wants to move on.
Does he want to move out?
I don't like this guy. I don't like this guy.
He might want to move out.
Is he looking at moving out? I'm Billy Joel.
Okay, yellow Moving card, out. Dave. Yellow card.
It is not Billy Joel.
See me in my office.
What about Billy Joel and Elton John getting back together?
Oh, my God. Please.
Imagine them on the end of a double-ended piano. Pretty good, man.
Is that all good or not?
Oh, they'd need a black box recorder.
This is Malloy. To gather back around your wireless people, here comes the big second hour of Malloy.
And it's a special one, guys. Let me tell you, guys and girls, we're joined by comedy royalty and someone who I've admired for so long. He's in our industry. He's a living god. Ben Elton. He's just a ripper. He's about to go back on tour.
He wrote the Young Ones, Mick. He wrote the Young Ones.
He wrote the Young Ones,
Holy
mate.
Holy moly.
He's Jesus. Black Adder. He wrote Black Adder. Where do you want to start? The guy is royalty, as I said. He's about to embark on a national tour. So this is what a great way to come out of COVID.
A great way
to go and see a show. Go and see the master in action. We're also going to tackle Gwyneth Paltrow's latest product. Dave, I'd be very worried if I was you.
I am worried. I think for the men of Australia too, you should be worried.
This could have us all out of a job.
Yes.
What's she up to? She needs, I think she's got too much spare time on her hands, but she's developed something for the ladies.
Yes.
I believe it has 43 accessories or attachments.
Yeah.
I don't know. You do the math. Hey, well, we may have another awkward moment. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. So much to get through.
With Jay, the Song Whisperer.
We'll start right here.
You bet.
Synopsis, please, again.
This guy is moving on. He's got his stuff, and he's heading to the coast. He's haunted by the memories of his relationship. Was it with a woman, or was it addiction? Maybe both. It's unclear. What is clear is he wants out. He wants to get on with his life. Paradoxically, he wants to get on with his life so he can clearly observe the destruction of all life around him.
Jeez, lighten up. Yeah. He sounds like high maintenance. Is he high maintenance?
I don't think he's high maintenance. I think he's got...
Is he a good guy?
He's got a plan.
Is he a good guy?
Well, I think he's a bit inward focused. He's thinking
of
himself.
Is he in love? Has he been hurt by women?
He's been hurt. He's been hurt by something or someone.
Is there a aching hole in him somewhere?
Possibly.
Is it a tale of woe?
No, I don't think it is. Dave. I wouldn't describe it as a tale of woe.
Craig, what is it? What's the song?
G'day, guys.
G'day.
I'm reckon it's Bob Seger's Hollywood Nights.
Wow. Sounds like he wants to annihilate the world.
Mm.
Sounds like he's having fun.
Bob Seger. Underrated Bob Seger.
And, you know, wouldn't get through the system today. But, gee, that would have been a good concert to go to.
Would have been amazing. Not correct, Craig. Sorry.
Hey, duke him, Dave.
All right. Case of Brick Lane. Craig, thanks for calling, mate. We'll sort you out with some free beer. Well done, mate.
Very good. Everyone's a winner. Andrew's on the line. Andrew, what are you thinking? What are you cooking
up? I'm thinking it's Walk on the Wild Side, Lou Reed.
Take a walk on the wild side. Good song. I wish we'd play that. We would never play that, would we, Jay?
Someday, absolutely.
It used to be my karaoke song.
Did it really?
What an amazing song.
We said, was this one of our songs? We were trying to go through songs with scat in them.
Oh.
Is that scat?
Could be.
Does he do, darling?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Yeah, a little bit. Andrew, you're not correct.
Oh.
Sorry, mate.
Case of Brick Lane anyway, mate.
Guys, I was still back on the doo-doo-dahs and you just moved on.
Oh,
is it scat or not?
We'll call it scat for argument's sake, sure.
You could do songs just with doo-doos, like da doo 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 da 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 the police.
Is that scat?
No, I don't think it's scat.
It's just scat, Dave. Random.
I thought we established scatting was replacing an instrument with vocalisation.
Yeah, and words.
So where does doo-doo-doo-doo-doots fit in?
Could be. Is it cowbell?
Hey, slam a brick lane for the Song Whisperer. Leon's on the line. Come on, Leon. Sort it, would you? What is it?
Yeah, we'll have a crack. It might be Santa Monica by Everclear.
What's the world? Oh,
hang on. Hang on, the Song Whisperer singing along. Die. That's a good sign.
Leon, you're correct.
Oh, you got it, baby!
You
got it.
Leon!
Well done.
Neon Leon takes the chockies, and what else does he win, Dave?
You got yourself a case of Brick Lane, obviously, because you've run through, you've won for the Song Whisperer, so someone's excited, you get that. And
that's
you also
she'll drink it all.
Oh, will she?
I thought you were strangling a small dog.
Yeah, we're worried about you. And, $100 to spend. We're thinking maybe Uber Eats for the whole family, Leon. So,
well done.
Or something nice for your partner. Yeah. What about that?
Yeah, no, bugger her.
Huh? Okay. You didn't mean that. Did not mean
Jeez.
That. Let's play it. It's Everclear. Up next, Ben Elton, Malloy, Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy. The last time we caught up with our next guest, award-winning comic author, playwright, actor and director Ben Elton, COVID was yet to take hold. The only concern touring comedy was political correctness.
People say to me, you're going on tour. Oh, you're brave. I say, wait. I said, well, you can't say anything these days, can you? Yeah. It's rubbish. Yeah. This idea that the world is being constrained by political correctness. Political correctness is just generally people having better manners. This is a right-wing trope, the idea that radical lefties are constraining intellectual freedom. Funny, though. And how Trump, Morrison and Johnson all got elected within the same couple of years.
Now, 15 years since his last stand-up tour of Oz, Ben's bringing his new show, Ben Elton Live 2021, to a city near you in March and April. Please welcome to the show, Ben Elton.
Just wish he'd come out of his shell and say what he's thinking. It's so hard to get an opinion. How are you, Ben? Welcome back to the program.
Good to be back. I can't believe it. This is me doing PR for the very first time in a bleak year for the whole world. It felt so good to get up this morning and think, we're trying. We're going to try and get some live theatre and live entertainment going again. So good to be back.
A bit ambitious, I would have thought, at this stage, but we've seen your tour dates and they're comprehensive. You love doing a lap around this country, and it gives me great joy to know that you're out there, frontline troops, entertaining people in all corners of this great country.
We hope so. I mean, it definitely is a seat of the pants job, you know, fingers crossed and bum firmly corked for this one, mate, I got to tell you, because it only takes somebody sneezes into Tasmania, and the borders yeah, come down, and
we're all cooked.
Exactly, we're all self-isolating in individual barrels. So you know, I'm just hoping that people will just get it. I just think my promoter, Live Nation, Michael Coppola, said, "Look, let's try and do it," and I'm going to be there. If people want to have a night out and try and move on, then I'll be there with them.
I love it. You've called it Live 2021. It's not the most imaginative title. What about Lock Up Your Daughter's Tour or something, the Glass Spider Tour or something huge.
Still alive, 2021. I mean, I'm 61 and also I'm apparently a high risker because I've got psoriasis and I'm on one of these biologic suppressants. So the fact that I'm here at all, I think, is a testimony to the strength of our borders. But of course, our Saint Mark over here in Western Australia is very safe. He loves
the
mask.
He's playing
hardball. He plays very hardball. He brushes his teeth with a mask on, does Mark, I tell you. He's kept us safe, but I'm going to burst out and cross a few borders if I'm allowed. And 2021 live, it's a lot of it will be the material from, you know, that was so, as I said to you last time, I did 90 gigs in the UK as a kind of warm-up tour for my Australian presence. And then we got stopped dead by a pandemic.
Yeah.
And now I've got to readjust all that material. I mean, I was doing 10 minutes, well, about all this sort of oversharing of the millennial generation and how it had even got to the dinner table. You know, we share our salt. Everyone's dipping in the same little dish of cubes of rock salt and dipping their bread in the same dish of balsamic and oil. Well, blimey, you know, I used to say I don't want somebody using the fingers they've blown their nose with to fosky in my condiments. I mean, these days we've got to be 200 metres apart when we're eating at dinner.
Right.
So that material's going to take some rewriting, Mick, I'll tell you.
Well, I'll tell you, the COVID's put an end to the great tradition of the old bar nuts.
Oh, certainly has.
You have been locked down in WA. By the way, well played. The safest city in the world
completely.
To duke out COVID. But have you not travelled back at all? Have you been...
No. It's I'll tell you, I don't... It's slightly more serious. No, of course, we in West Australia have been incredibly lucky. Had a wonder... as far as a good time during COVID goes, we've had very few restrictions. Yep. But for me, the price of that has been locked borders. It's not possible to leave. It's not possible to get back in, or at least under very difficult circumstances. So my family and friends, my mother's 92. Even if I was in Britain, I couldn't see her because she's only allowed one person in a bubble. So my other brother is in a bubble with her. He can go and visit.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's, look, everyone has their COVID stories, and I certainly have mine. And it is a funny thing to be able to go to the pub and enjoy a night out, as we have done in Western Australia for many months,
yep.
But also to know that so many friends and loved ones are doing it so hard, not just in Melbourne, as we know, but in the UK, and they're still locked down as we speak. Mm. So, yeah, that's a tough
one. One of the great things about being in Australia is you get to look at the world in the third person. How do you fit, being looking at it from here and you see the UK, how do you think they've gone? Have they handled it? I just remember these great pictures from the war, the Second World War. People are going to work with briefcases, like climbing over rubble, and just had this great, it won't
get on
get
with
us,
it sort of thing, wasn't
get,
it?
Kind of, let's get on with it. How do you think they've gone with the pandemic?
Well, I think the human spirit is generally worldwide. I don't subscribe to this idea of sort of deep national characteristics, like particularly in Australia, where we seem to talk about nothing else. Mateship. Oh, we're mates. That's what we do. Because nobody's friends in Belgium. they hate, somebody says mon ami. You say, what do you think? I'm an Australian or what? So look, I think the British, it's been very hard. And the spirit, I think we've seen again, and I don't want to get cliche, but it has been uplifting to see the way ordinary people have allowed their freedoms to disappear in defence of the vulnerable, because this is a hard one. I mean, we know that the most vulnerable people in society are the old, and so we're sort of, a young generation is sacrificing itself for an older generation. But here we see, finally, the vaccine's rolling out, and it couldn't come too soon because I was beginning to worry they might not be able to inoculate the over 90s before they died of old age. But thank goodness it's too soon for that.
I'm all in.
Can we afford that level of comedy?
I haven't been proven to be the best judge on this stuff, but I'm all for it. And I got to the point where I started to think our health minister, Greg Hunt, may be an anti-vaxxer. It's taken...
why are we so late?
I don't know. We keep saying we're on track. On track for what?
There were a lot of mistakes made in Britain. And some of which I have sympathy for. Nobody knew how this was going to go. Mm-hmm. As you know, I have no great love for Boris Johnson, but not a great job to be boss during these periods. But I'm really hoping that the UK vaccine, which really has been testimony to our magnificent National Health Service, a Labour Party invention from 1945, I should like to say, which has allowed the infrastructure to do such an efficient rollout. And I can only hope we can do the same thing here in Australia. It's been a long time coming, and we can't wait. I bet you can't, mate.
I can't. I just can't wait to get out there. I'll just be sitting at home sending dick pics. And
okay.
I'm not on your distribution list. Let me in on your dick, for goodness sake. I feel very hurt.
Hang about, Ben, because we're going to come back and talk to you more specifically about this ginormous tour that you've undertaken. And I've seen you live. I just can't implore people enough to go and see this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Right. Hang about, Ben. We'll be back in a sec.
Ben Elton is with us.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
Ben Elton is with us from our 92.9 Triple M Perth studios, and Ben Elton Live 2021 is touring the country from March, livenation.com.au. There's a bunch of rescheduled shows, but kicking off Margaret River Tuesday, March 30.
How well played.
I'm doing a season. I'm doing a season in March. I've got two nights.
You may never get out of there.
I've got to tell you, the biggest gig I ever played was Wembley Stadium when I was privileged to co-host the Nelson Mandela Welcome gig. I'm playing Margaret River Heart Centre. And I'm proud to do it. In COVID, you go where the work is, and it's lovely to go down.
Did Did you have a crack at Nelson Mandela? Could you do a bit of riffing on him at any stage?
No. Well, I mean, he's my greatest. There's so many people share that thought. Somebody who taught us. I mean, I think the phrase, truth and reconciliation. And I think that's something Australia really needs to think about. You can't have reconciliation without truth. First, you must acknowledge the wrongs, and then perhaps you can move on. And certainly Mandela, who suffered more than most freedom fighters, the fact that he was able to forgive and move on, but only after acknowledging. I don't know how we got onto that, Mick. Did I have a crack at him?
That's right. Did you take down Laurence Olivier? And I know you have two Laurence Olivier awards up your sleeve, but
I got nominated for a third, then we got closed down the next day because of
COVID. That is a conspiracy.
I had a play open in the West End. We got nominated and closed within 24 hours.
Well, you got two Laurence Olivier awards, three BAFTAs. The one I want to know about is the Eurovision Golden Rose D'Or Lifetime Achievement Award. What was that? Anything in specific or a lifetime of work?
A specific lifetime, I guess. It's mine. Look, the Golden Rose D'Or used to be called the Golden Rose of Montreux, but then they'd moved it to Lucerne, I don't know, corporate takeover. the European Television Festival used to be quite a very big thing, you know, because it was the only kind of non-American thing. It was European Television Awards, and they give a lifetime achievement, and they gave one to me. I'm not saying, I love an award. People say, awards, they mean nothing till you win one. It's like reviews. I tell you, honestly, reviews are all idiots unless by any chance they happen to like what I've written, in which case they're geniuses.
I mentioned to Laurence Olivier, and what I was going to say is because he once, for a movie called The Entertainer, which was set in the world of vaudeville and
variety.
Yeah, and he went on stage and to get into the role and started doing stand up or entertaining in the music hall variety. And he said to this day, out of everything I've ever done, that was by far the hardest thing I ever had to do.
It is. Look, stand up is the sharp end of performance comedy because you've got no one else with you. You know, you're relying on your own thoughts. It's a hard school, but it's a wonderfully rewarding one. And I don't see stand up as a competitive thing. I don't get hecklers anymore, and I hope never to again, because to me it's not about I really beat the audience. I was just so in control. To me, stand up is an exchange of ideas, and when I say an exchange, I mean I'm giving the best of my imagination and attempting to engage with the imagination of 1,000 individuals in the audience, or half a dozen if you're playing Margaret River. And it's going to be a nice sellout. They're letting us have 60% capacity, two sellouts. But so to me, it's nerve wracking. But for me, it's not so much, I don't know, will they hate me? It's, will I be understood? There's that great 60s song, I'm just a boy whose intentions are good. Please don't let me be misunderstood. And I think it's getting complex ideas across and getting those laughs.
Yes.
It's an art form. I think stand-up is a great art form, and I want to do my best at it.
And by the way, it'd be hard to heckle because I've seen your show and it'd be hard to get a word in, quite frankly. You're not going to die wondering. Hey, can you hang around for one more break?
Absolutely.
Ben Elton is with us. More with Ben right after this. It is Malloy on Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Still joined by Ben Elton, which is awesome. 2021, live 2021. You go to livenation.com.au. We're talking from Margaret River to Adelaide, Perth, Wollongong, Rockhampton, all around Australia. Get your tickets now.
And I've seen you live, and it's just a thoroughly enjoyable, entertaining and challenging evening because you are mucking around up the deep end of the pool. And I love that. So it's a man and a microphone. There's no dance numbers. There's no nine costume changes like Diana Ross. You just come out and you drill the audience.
Well, I do change my shirt in the interval. I have two Marks and Spencer's sports shirts, and I wear one in the first half and one in the second. I am very much the dad bod comedian, and you certainly won't find any sartorial surprises. But hopefully, intellectually and comedically, I'll be going down some different roads and taking people with me, I hope.
Do you enjoy touring and meeting people, or are you isolated? Do you have like a tour bus? Have you got groupies, or what are you doing, or are you just kind of...
Oh, look, it's me and my tour manager. It is quite a lonely experience, really, because, you know, you play town to town. If you, at my age, if you want an audience to see, you've got to go to them. I can't sit in Melbourne and play one arena and hope everyone will come to me. You know, I'm not that big a draw. But if I go to the towns, if I go to Newcastle or whatever, then I think people are pleased to see me. And that's great, because it means you do see the country. You do get to chat to people. I always, you know, I I'm in the street and I maybe have a cup of coffee before. Oh, I'm coming to see you tonight, mate, and might have a little chat with people. So that is a lovely thing for me as a writer because, you know, I sit at home writing sitcoms and plays and novels, and to be able to get out on the road and, I suppose, meet the people who like my stuff, it's obviously, it's very humbling for me, and it's also an education because, you know, when you have a conversation with someone, you always learn something. And so for me, going back on the road, and it's been a long time, been 15 years when I started in the UK, and that was mainly because I was sort of being a family person. As a writer, I could stay at home and be with my kids growing up. Yep. So I thought, well, I'm not going to go 6 months touring. But you do miss the soft, gentle hum of a hotel minibar after a few years at home with the kids. Oh, let me tell you.
I can't sleep without that sound in the background.
Oh, I love it.
And the sound, to be actually out there, you know, as you pointed out, you don't have to get up and read the papers to find out how you went. You kind of know there.
Certainly.
And then when you stand, it's no more brutal exercise than to stand in front of a room full of people and get immediate feedback.
And taking a risk comedically. I mean, I was mentioning earlier, you know, all of us are conflicted about this extraordinary, the COVID, which is so selective and attacks the vulnerable. Mm. And now I have a whole part of my set, which is about my, it doesn't sound very funny, but, you know, my dad got Alzheimer's. And for 5 years, the last 5 years of his life were the 5 years he would have done anything to have avoided, except he no longer had the ability to avoid it. And I talk about that. I talk about End of Dead. I'm big mates with Andrew Denton. Yep. I support his campaign for a more adult attitude to end-of-life care. So I'm talking about that. And then, but obviously I'm a comedian and I want big laughs, and my dad would want me to have big laughs if he was, well, he's gone now. And I'm going to be honest and tell you, I'm glad he's gone because I know his life was not what he would have wanted it to be. Yeah. Each person takes their own view, and I take mine, and I'm prepared to speak out. So yeah, if you can get a laugh on subjects like that and really take people into interesting areas, but not in a depressing way, in an uplifting way, then of course it feels good.
And I think people too are ready for a community experience. We have been kind of locked up. It has been a bit lonely and isolating, and I think the idea that you can now go out and have a shared experience with a room full of people, especially a laugh, I think a number one ticket item for most people out there at the moment, just waiting for this experience.
What can we say? There has been theatre is part of the human life. We in Australia are the oldest human culture. And from the very start, 60, 70,000 years ago now, we're learning, theatre was at the heart of all communities. Mm. Ritual, a festival, a spiritual, uplifting, the coming together, the sharing of a communal performance of some sort. It can be religious, it can be a stand-up comedy, and it's gone. In Britain, the theatres didn't even close in the Blitz. You talked about Britain going through World War II. Yes. The last time the theatres closed in Britain, the last time London was without theatre, was in Shakespeare's day, when they closed for pandemics because of the plague. Yep. 450 years unbroken, and now I've just subscribed to a book of empty theatres, and we've felt it in Melbourne. And Broadway closed for a year. This is heartbreaking, not just the jobs and the dreams, but also the lack of community celebration. And I have to say, the fact I'm talking to you about doing live gigs again, I'm almost tearful because it's a genuinely moving thing.
Well, Shakespeare would be proud to know you've popped on the pantaloons and you're getting back out there. You're frontline troops. Thank you for your time. Just quickly before we go, I know it's all about stand-up for you at the moment. Can you tell me you're writing something or working on something? Because you've given us so much great work over the years. I just couldn't bear to think that you weren't working away on something.
It's lovely to hear. A sitcom that's been a big hit in Britain, I finally got another hit, I couldn't believe it, called Upstart Crow, about Shakespeare, actually.
It's gone great.
It's only marginally known over here, but it's been a huge hit in Britain, and that was what I got the Olivier nomination for. Mm. And so I actually wrote a lockdown special for the BBC, and that went over on at Christmas with Shakespeare in lockdown, because he would have been. I mean, and it was, hoarding his turnips. it was hoarding the damp moss for the privy. So I've been writing that, but also I won't say what it's about, but yes, I have a screenwriting commission, which is rather exciting, and I hope you're going to see something from me on the screen quite soon. It's kind of you to say that, Mick. Well, I know you've followed my writing for a long, long time, and we've often talked, so thanks for that.
Good on you, Ben. Thank you for your time today, and thank you for getting back out there and entertaining it. It's like entertaining the troops in a difficult time, and we just love it, and you're the best in the business. Thank you, and good luck, Dave.
Thank you,
where do we go for those
Yeah, livenation.com.au. All the info on tickets there. Commencing Tuesday, March 30, all the way through to the end of April. Get amongst it. Ben Elton joining us right here on Molloy on Triple M. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, guys.
For the drive home, this is Molloy.
By the way, if you just missed our chat with Ben Elton, we had him for the whole half hour, you should catch up with the podcast. It'll be up after the show today. What a treat. It's Molloy on Triple M.
And don't say we don't take into account something for the ladies. How do I introduce this, Dave? Let's just say Gwyneth Paltrow's at it again.
Yeah. She's an entrepreneur, isn't she? She's a businesswoman.
We all know she's got a candle that, well, as she says, smells like a Vajiji.
Yeah, that's it.
And
we have one in studio.
It's all part of her range called Goop, and she's released something else which basically is just walking off the shelves by itself, which may be part of the package. I don't know. To explain, Whitney, can you break it down for the girls and fill us in as to what the hell is going on over at Goop?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Back with the hard-hitting news.
Thank you.
Goop have released their own vibrator.
So Gwyneth Paltrow's released a vibrator through her range. Can I just ask, what the candle she released, what was that called?
Literally, it was called This Smells Like My Vagina.
Yeah, I hope that's not what her vibrator's called. That's all I'm saying. I just feel she needs to kind of take it in a different direction. Okay, so fill us in as to what we need to know about this.
Well, the thing that stands out to me the most is that it has 64 different settings.
Jesus, women, what do you want?
I can't fathom that.
Vibrates, it chops, it slices, it dices, it juliennes. I'm telling you,
that kind of scares me.
Sounds like a Swiss Army vibrator. Well, it's got a corkscrew as well. It's a one night party pack. Well, it's got a lighter that so when you're done, you can light your cigarette and just lie back. I mean, how's it selling? Is it selling? Apparently, did it sell out? I heard it sold out the minute it was
sold out. Yeah.
So that's not a ringing endorsement for our performance in the bedroom, gentlemen. Well, I'm telling you this. If she can invent a vibrator that puts the bins out, we're cooked, gents. We are done.
Well, if there's anything off your comments earlier about needing a break halfway through, it's no wonder these are sitting on the shelves.
Can I just say, girls, what happened to Tupperware parties? When you got together and you just looked at Tupperware and you went, this is true. And now I remember thinking this. I went to Sexpo once. I think we were doing something for this show.
Yeah.
And I remember going there and seeing what I can only describe as the great wall of dildos.
Right.
It was just, there's about 1,000 on it. And I remember just looking at it going, gee, women love to shop. It's like shoes or something. I mean, how many different can there be before you go, that's the one for me? What are you looking for? I don't get it.
It's sort of an unusual shape too. I'm looking at it online here right now. It's kind of got one end's like a ball.
It's pretty. So they're saying it's a thing of beauty on the nightstand so you don't have to hide it in your undies drawer. Again, I don't get that.
The thing of beauty on the bedstand is a dinger. I'm just trying to be provocative, as if we haven't gone far enough. She's got too much spare time on her hands, right? Yeah. Or is she just totally obsessed with her own?
She knows what sells.
How about putting out, I don't know, a carburetor or something? This thing probably does have one, but it's got 64
settings.
Jeez Louise, I don't get it. Can somebody help me? Hey, Dave.
Stop it. What happens to it?
Is it like cars? Can you take them for a test run? What do you do?
I don't know if there's a money back guarantee. I don't know.
What, they're not going to pop up on eBay? Sort of the type of thing you buy secondhand?
No.
Won't figure in the trading post anytime soon?
I'm sure stranger things have happened. But
well, count me out.
Yeah.
She needs to, if you want to get, treat your lady, gents, but bear in mind, it could do you out of a gig. There it is.
All right.
Thank you, Goop. Gwyneth. Get another hobby. Jeez.
This is Molloy on Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Molloy.
This is Molloy on Triple M with Mick Molloy.
Okay, Dave.
What?
I'm going to have to ask you to put that down. I know you steal most things from our prize cabinet and they end up back at your house. I believe the whippersnipper has already had a go. This thing probably does whippersnip. It's got 64 different... different functions.
About $120 from Goop, well, I believe.
What do you want, girls? Why do you, tell you what, just tell us, we'll do it. Am I right, guys?
I'm with you. 64 Jeez different accessories, though. That's,
that is unbelievable. I mean, the cost of electricity these days. it's going to run up a skyrocketing bill. We're, of course, talking about the vibrator from Goop, from Gwyneth Paltrow, who really needs... You know what? This is reflecting very badly on her boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who she's going out with, but he needs to lift his game because she's got a sex toy with 64 different functions. Mm. That's just like, that's something that, well, where does it end? I don't know anymore, David. I just don't know.
I think we've done our quota for vibrator talk today, by the way. I think.
Oh, is it? Didn't know there was a quota.
Well, Mick,
see me in my office.
If you go to goop.com, you can.
Oh, hello, Jason.
This is what they said. Experience the buzz. Join the waitlist for our sold out vibrator. Would you like us to sign you up, Mick?
How long's the waitlist?
I don't know. But we can get you on that list.
Do they have like a VIP customer section or are they. Imagine that coming through. You'd hope that wasn't picked up at the customs. What's that? I don't know. Something for the missus.
I believe that happened to a well-known radio personality, did
Who
it not?
Who are you talking about?
Okay, all right. Now, you can't just drop that and move on.
Who?
Keep going.
I know exactly.
AM or FM?
FM.
Oh. Hey, guys, we did this yesterday. Is it time for another awkward moment? An awkward moment. So, you know, I've been watching the breakfast shows because I've been in lockdown and things have been boring.
What
I was watching the morning show with Larry Emger today.
Oh, yeah.
And they were talking about a new movie called Cruella.
Okay.
Involving a new movie star. What's Emma Stone.
Yeah, right.
Emma Stone. And he said something, and I'm not sure. I might be taking this the wrong way. I might have heard it the wrong way. I might just be losing my bearings. But is this a bit fruity? Have a listen.
Emma Stone, Pete, has transformed for her new Disney role. What's with that?
So they've released the poster for Cruella. It's like a 1970s album cover, isn't it? It's
throwing Blondie. So, the imagery is terrific. Emma Stone is unrecognisable.
I could do that.
Totally.
I could do that.
Yeah.
What?
Wow. He said I could do that.
Said it twice.
He said it twice.
I could do that.
And is he referencing Emma Stone, or is he referencing? I could do what? Whitney, what? The film? Who says, oh, let's go do a film?
Yeah.
When was that in the vernacular? Unless it's Edgerton.
That's what he meant. Like, I could go do that.
Bridgerton.
I could do that. Are you sure he's talking about the film? Who goes, hey, do you want to go see a film tonight? Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, Larry.
Yeah.
And by the way, Whitney, you always defend Larry. you always take Larry's
side. Larry's hot.
Oh, he is
not. Oh, wow.
All right, that's it for today's show. Big Thursday show ahead too because Jim Jefferies is going to join us from LA and Bean Thursday Gone Wild as well. Today's podcast will be up in a moment too if you missed any of it, including Ben Elton. Check that. Talk to you tomorrow to drive you home again. Malloy on Triple M.
This has been the Malloy Drive Show Podcast.